Take your Bibles and turn with me to John 21 for a second there. Praise God. Tomorrow morning we'll have worship here in the lodge. Saturday morning it may be a little bit abbreviated, but we'll meet here this Saturday. Some Saturdays we have table worship, but it seems that it'll work out that we'll be here tomorrow morning. And I'm glad for that. Praise God. John chapter 21 is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. I think it was last year that every morning worship we read from John 21. And there was something in that chapter for every worship. Praise God. We know that's the story of Peter's restoration. That happened in stages, I suppose. Peter denied the Lord. We know that story. And when Jesus was being taken from one place to another, Peter denied him for the third time. The rooster crowed. And crowed, is that the right word? The cock crew, it says in King James. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And then Peter realized what he had done, and that the words that Jesus had spoken, "Before the cock crows twice, you'll have denied three times that you ever knew me." And Peter then ran out and into the night, and he wept bitterly, bitter tears of disappointment and no doubt tears of repentance. In the first chapter, in 1 Corinthians 15, it tells us something there that is, of course, is of interest. The Apostle Paul is talking about Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection, and he mentions that Jesus rose, and he says, and he appeared unto Simon or Cephas, and also to the 11, and then finally to me. But that's very interesting when you read that, because that indicates that Jesus had made a special appearance to Peter that we don't read about in the Gospels. That story is not given to us. But there the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, calls that to our attention. And I like that. I like that it was very private. You know, Peter had so failed the Lord and was in such a state of despair. And Jesus appeared to him. We don't know what Jesus said to him. We don't know what took place there. But it was just so intimate and so personal and so private that the Lord doesn't tell us any more about that, except that he appeared to Peter. And that gave Peter some hope. But there needed to be more restoration and a fuller restoration. And so we read about that in John 21. We know that after they had eaten breakfast, that Jesus got close to Peter. And it seems as they were walking, and says, "Peter, do you love me more than these others?" And Peter says, "Lord, you know that I love thee." This is verse 15, John 21, 15. "When they had dined, Jesus said to Peter, 'Peter, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?' He said, 'Yea, you know that I love thee.' He said, 'Then feed my lambs.' He said again the second time, 'Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?' He said, 'Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee.' He said, 'Feed my sheep.' He saith unto him the third time, 'Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?' Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, 'Lovest thou me?' And he said unto him, 'Lord, thou knowest all things. You know that I love thee.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Feed my sheep.'" Now, there are many things that we could say about that conversation and this passage of Scripture. But the thing that interests me is every time Peter responded, "Lord, I love you," Jesus virtually told him the same thing. "Then feed my lambs. Then feed my sheep. Feed my sheep." Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. We can see this made a deep impression upon Peter, because many years later, when he wrote his epistle, he speaks to the elders and he gives them very much the same instruction that Jesus gave him. 1 Peter chapter 5, he says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." And the first thing he tells them, feed the flock of God which is among you. Feed the people of God. These are God's people. This is God's flock. And he says, make sure you feed them. Make sure you take care of them like a shepherd cares for the flock. Make sure you feed the flock of God, which is among you. And then he explains how to go about doing that, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, not being as lords, not as lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Let me read that in the NIV. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you're willing, as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Praise God. The flock is very precious to Jesus. And he wants them cared for. He wants the flock to be fed, nourished, strengthened, encouraged. And there's a reason for that. I heard a minister one time say, I love the ministry, it's the people I don't like. And I thought that was strange. I guess that's kind of out of constraint, right? I'm going to feed the flock of God because I have to. But I guess we could all relate to that a little bit. I mean, people sometimes are hard to get along with, but they're all precious to the Lord. And we see that also in Acts chapter 20. Let's turn there a second. The Apostle Paul emphasized the same thing to the Ephesian elders. I remember when I was ordained many years ago, Brother Edwin preached from this text and gave us this word, Acts chapter 20, verse 28. The Apostle Paul says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock, which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. And then he goes on and talks about the opposition that's going to arise and the trials that are coming. And so he knows that he's not going to see these people ever again. And so he wants to instruct these ministers. And what does he tell them? He says, feed the flock of God. Make sure you feed the people of God. Now, he could have instructed them and told them many other things, I'm sure. And perhaps there's more than is recorded here. But obviously, this is the emphasis that Paul laid as he instructed them. Feed the flock of God. And here he says something very precious. He says, which he hath purchased with his own blood. He says, everyone in that flock was bought with the same price, the blood of Jesus Christ. He didn't pay more for one and less for another. But he shed his precious blood for every single one of them. You know, there's some sheep that are obedient and they get along well with the others, and there are some that are stubborn and they always stray, and you got to go after them, and they need constant encouragement. But he says, listen, Jesus Christ paid with his own blood for every one of them. And Brother Edwin, I remember at my ordination, said, you need to look at every person in the church with that understanding. That person, whoever they may be, Jesus purchased with his own blood. He couldn't have paid a higher price for them. They're valuable to him. And if they're valuable to him, then you better take care of them and make sure you feed them well and minister as God enables you. Now, I wondered about that. Why did Jesus say, feed my sheep? Why did Peter pass that on to the elders? And why did the Apostle Paul make that to be so important? Feed the people of God. Feed the people of God. Well, when you go into the Old Testament, you see that's right where Israel's leaders failed. They failed to feed the people of God. And you'll see that very clearly in Ezekiel chapter 34. And so turn with me there. I think there's a real connection between Jesus' words to Peter and these other passages that we read with Ezekiel 34. Because there the Lord calls Ezekiel to prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. These shepherds were the religious leaders, those that God had set over the people to feed them and to lead them in the ways of God. And he says, you prophesy against those shepherds. Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat and you clothe yourself with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. You're taking advantage of the people of God. You're taking advantage of that position that God has placed you in, and you're seeking all your own personal gain rather than the welfare of God's people. And then he goes and he explains further, the diseased you have not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick. Neither have you bound up that which was broken. Neither have you brought again that which strayed, was driven away, or sought that which was lost. But with force and cruelty you have ruled them. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. Here God is pronouncing judgment upon the leaders in Israel, the spiritual leaders. And he talks about the condition of his people. He says there are those that were diseased and you didn't do anything to strengthen them. And there were those who needed healing. They were sick and you didn't heal them. You didn't bind up their wounds. And there were those that were driven away and there were others that strayed away. And you didn't care about them at all. You didn't go after them. You didn't take one step in their direction or make any effort to bring them back to the fold. And he says you'd led them with cruelty and you forced yourself upon them. And then they scattered because they had no one to take care of them. They had nowhere to turn. They were sheep without a shepherd. And as they scattered, then the enemy took advantage of them and because they were alone and they were not under the protection of the fold. And we read about that also in Jeremiah 23. It talks about the pastors or the shepherds and how they were guilty of the same things. And then he goes on, he says, my sheep wander through all the mountains, in verse 6, and upon every high hill my flock was scattered over the face of the whole earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherd search for the flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, Hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. And then it says, the Lord says, behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out. First of all, he deals with the shepherds of the sheep, the leaders of the people of God. And now he talks about to the people of God. And he says that, and he rebukes them for the way they're treating one another. And then he goes on and he says, for thus saith the Lord, I will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock in the day that he is among the sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will deliver them out of the places where they have been scattered. I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall be their fold. There shall they lie in a good fold, in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away. I will bind up that which was broken. I will strengthen that which was sick, but will destroy the fat and the strong, and I will feed them with judgment. Now, when he says, I will destroy the fat and the strong, it's a little bit clearer. The indication is those that have taken advantage of others and just fed themselves, I will deal with them. And then he goes on here and explains that further too. And I don't want to go too far into that, but he says, because you have thrust with side and shoulder and pushed all the disease with your horns till you have scattered them abroad, therefore I will save my flock, and they shall no more be prey. I will judge between them and set up one shepherd over them. And then he speaks about David, that he was going to raise up over the people of Israel, and that he would shepherd the people of God. He would be a man after God's own heart. He would have a heart for the flock of God, the people of God. He would instruct them in the ways of the Lord. He would, by example and by commandment and instruction, he would guide them in the right way. But as you read this, of course, you can't help but think beyond King David, and you recognize that Ezekiel is prophesying about the Lord Jesus Christ himself, that God himself was going to come down and take care of these lost sheep of Israel, these ones who were scattered and wounded and attacked. God himself was going to come down, and he was going to be their shepherd. He was going to come down in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. We read that wonderful story in Luke chapter 15 where that sheep had gone astray, that one lost sheep. And he left the 99 and he went out into the dark searching for that one lost sheep. And when he found him, he put him on his shoulders and he brought him home safely back to the fold with rejoicing. And the very prophecy that we read in Isaiah 61 speaks of the anointing that would be upon Jesus to do that very thing. I read it last night. I just call your attention to it again. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. Now think of the accusation that Ezekiel pronounced against the shepherds, and consider this anointing that was going to rest upon Jesus Christ. He says, he hath anointed me. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. I'm going to come down myself, and I'm going to gather the lost sheep. I'm going to go after those that are scattered. I'm going to bind up the brokenhearted. I'm going to minister to those that are wounded. Those that are diseased, I'm going to heal them. I'm going to deliver those that are bound. And I'm going to be their shepherd. The shepherds of Israel failed miserably. And so God said, I'm going to come and I'm going to do it myself. And now that Jesus knew that he was going to heaven and he was leaving behind his apostles and his followers, now he said, Peter, when I'm gone, make sure you keep feeding my sheep. I bought them with my own blood. The shepherds of the Old Testament, they did a miserable job. I had to come down myself, and I had to pay a great price to purchase them for myself. And so, Peter, if you tell me that you love me, feed my sheep. Go after the lost, Peter. Go after those that are broken and bound, those that need healing. Receive the anointing. Wait until you're endued with power from on high, and then go in my name and under my anointing and continue to care for the flock of God which is among you. And somehow God, the Lord Jesus, got that light into the heart of Peter, and he put that burden upon the heart of Paul and the other disciples, and they felt that that was their call. Their call here was to feed God's people and to give them the best and to lay down their life for them if necessary. And my, when you read through the book of Acts and you see how the Apostle Paul took care of the people of God, there was no price too great that he wouldn't pay. How he suffered for them, how he went after them wherever the Spirit of God led him. He ended up in prison. He ended up with a bloody back at times. He ended up shipwrecked. But he kept reaching out for, to feed the flock of God, to take care of the people of God. And he did it willingly. And he didn't do it for money, but he did it of a ready mind. And so the Lord calls us to do the same. Now, not everyone here is called to minister as a pastor, or in that capacity, or an evangelist. Some are, I know that, and some will be, I don't doubt. But you know, we all have people that Jesus wants us to care for. We all have people that depend upon us in some way to minister to them. And God wants all of us to be shepherds to the flock of God. Maybe you have a Sunday school class. That's your flock. God wants you to take care of that flock. Maybe they're the lambs. Maybe they're the little ones. And maybe you're up at camp and you have a group. You're a counselor. And maybe you have eight girls or eight little boys or so on. God wants you to take care of them and to feed them. Because even among those little ones, there are broken hearts. There are those that are bound by fear and worry. And Jesus wants us to love them. He wants to love them through us. He wants to care for them through us. He wants to keep feeding his flock. And he needs those that he can use to do so. You know, those even in our society, our leaders have failed us miserably along so many lines. They've disappointed us. They've taken advantage of us. We think in the political arena, oh, how often the accusation is that the politicians are in it for themselves instead of for the people. And that's often the case. And then we think of fathers who don't take care of their children and who abuse their children and make their lives miserable. God has ordained for fathers to love and be the protectors in the home and the providers for the family. And they've, rather than cared for the precious children that God has given to them, they've looked upon them as a nuisance and an inconvenience. And they've lived for themselves and cast these others aside. And how many broken children there are, and how many broken families there are because the leaders, because the God-appointed authorities have not fed the people of God and those under their care. They haven't cared for them. And so Peter remembered the words of Jesus. Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. Take care of them, Peter. Do it for me. If you really love me, then love the people that I love. That's God's call. And you know, the more you love Jesus, it works that way. The more you love Jesus, the more you love the people that he loves. And you find that you can love the most unlovable person when you're filled with the love of Christ. And when you do it for him, and you say, oh Jesus, I'm going to take care of this one for you. Jesus said, as much as you do it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Remember that parable, I think it's in Matthew 25, but it says there that in that day the Lord is going, they were going to stand before the Lord, and he's going to separate the sheep from the goats, and he's going to say, you know, I was in prison, and you didn't come to visit me. He said, I was hungry, you didn't feed me. I was cold, and you didn't clothe me. So on. And then he'll turn to those on the right, and he'll say, come and welcome into the joy of your Lord, because when I was in prison, you visited me. When I was naked, you clothed me. I was hungry, you fed me. And they're going to say, Lord, when did we do that? And he's going to say, when you did it to my sheep, you did it to me. Praise God. And so, may God help us to understand that this is part of loving Jesus, to love others, to love one another as I have loved you, he said. This is my new commandment. I give you the commandment and I give you the power to obey it. As you abide in me and I in you and abide in my love, then you will be able to be my shepherds, my under-shepherds, and my people will be taken care of. Praise God. You know of any people in your life that are broken? Anybody? Anybody who needs healing? Anyone who's bound or lost? Should we do something about that? Would Jesus do something about that? Could he use us in some way? You know, often that starts just by praying. That fellow in school who you know whose life is all messed up, who comes from such a messed up family. You say, what can I do to help that person? Well, the first thing I can do is I can get on my face before God and I can pray for that person. They might not even know that it's happening. They don't have to know. But Jesus knows. And as you begin to pray for people, God will cause you to feel for them. And as you come under that burden and you begin to feel the yearning of Jesus over that soul, then you'll cry out to God. And you'll say, Lord, if you can use me in some way to share your love with them, Lord, help me to forget about myself and help me to go after them for your sake, because I love you. And you'll be surprised who God brings across your path. They're probably there already and you just don't see them. But when you start praying like that, Jesus will begin to open your eyes and you'll begin to see sheep all around and little lambs. And Jesus will say, take care of them for me. Praise God. Hallelujah. And then Peter said, you know, when that chief shepherd shall appear, You know, we have a shepherd taking care of us. And one day he's going to appear. And he'll give us a crown. He'll give us a reward because we have done what he's told us to do. And we have shepherded his flock. And we have shared the love of Christ with them. And so that's something we can pray about tonight. Maybe tonight you'll pray, Lord, fill me with your love and help me to care for people. Show me how to do that. Make me an instrument in your hands that you can continue to care for your people. And or maybe tonight you'll think of someone. God will put someone on your heart. I believe that you're thinking of someone right now that you know is in need of the love of God. And maybe tonight you'll call on God for that person in a way that you never have before. And that'll be a good start. I want to close with this thought. I used to know a girl in school. I guess it was junior high school or high school. And her name was Agnes Tui. How can you forget a name like that, right? Agnes Tui. Agnes Tui wasn't a particularly attractive young lady. She was very much, I don't know, she just, she didn't have nice clothes. She wasn't especially pretty. She looked like she was kind of poor. It didn't seem as though she was well cared for at home. And you know, she'd go to school every day and the kids would make her life miserable. Just because. I heard someone sing a song recently, and he sang about a girl that he remembered in school named Rachel Velladorius. And he sang this beautiful song. When he was done singing it, well, it doesn't take much, but I was crying. Because I was thinking of Agnes Tui and others like her. And he sang about this girl, Rachel Velladorius, who had frumpy clothes and big, thick glasses, and kids used to walk past her in the lunchroom and say, Rachel's ugly, and she'd go and cry. And he said, we knew she would never be one of us. She'd never be one of us. And I thought about Agnes Tui many times since then. Now, I never mistreated her. I never helped her. And maybe I wasn't in the place to do so back then. But as I get older and as I minister to people, I see there are a lot of Agnes Tui's and a lot of Rachel Velladorius's and a lot of broken people who are abused every day. I couldn't imagine sending my daughter to school knowing that every day she's going to be mocked and ridiculed and come home crying. And that would break a parent's heart. And there are many out there like that. And tonight I would pray, God, open my eyes. We heard that Christianity isn't boring. Heaven's not going to be boring. You know, there's so much work to do. And it's all around us. And the problem is our eyes are closed. But Jesus wants to open them tonight and wants us to see as he sees and feel as he feels and love as he loves. And so let's ask Jesus to lead us. Jesus, like a shepherd, you lead us. And help us to follow wherever you lead us and do whatever is necessary to show you that we love you. Amen.